Thank you for standing by, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to today's webinar. I have with us Mr. Nicolas Bornozis, President of Capital Link, organizer of the event. I must advise you this conference is being recorded today. We now pass the floor to Mr. Bornozis. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning to everyone, and welcome to Capital Link's webinar series. I am Nicolas Bornozis, President of Capital Link. Today's webinar will feature Vessels Value on the topic of time for asset play, which shipping sectors are showing the potential for significant gains in value and why. We're delighted to have with us today our featured presenter, Adrian Economakis, the Chief Operating Officer of Vessels Value. This event is accessible through a live audio webcast and then as an audio archive through www.capitallinkwebinars.com. After the presentation, there will be a live Q&A session. Webinar participants can submit questions through the sidebar on the presentation page, titled Submit a Question, or you can email your questions to us at questions@capitallink.com. Please note, you can submit a question at any time during the event and will be answered during the Q&A session. The discussions and opinion expressed by the presenter are not intended as legal or investment advice or advice of any kind as a matter of fact, and are provided for informational and educational purposes only, and Capital Link bears no responsibility for them. Furthermore, the panel discussion may contain forward-looking statements concerning future events. Capital Link has made a strategic commitment to the shipping and maritime industries. In addition to our annual conferences and weekly shipping newsletter, we hold industry webinars and podcasts on a regular basis. To access our webinar library for past and upcoming webinars, please visit webinars.capitallink.com. And before handing over the floor to Adrian, please join us in Athens on Friday, February 22nd, 2019, for our 10th annual Greek Shipping Forum at the Hilton Hotel in Athens, Greece, and then in Limassol on Wednesday, February 27, 2019, for our third annual Cyprus Shipping Forum at the Columbia Plaza in Limassol in Cyprus. And for more information and to register, please visit capitallinkforum.com. Thank you to all for joining us today, and now I will turn the floor over to Adrian and thank him for being with us and about to deliver a very insightful presentation. Adrian, go ahead, please.
Thank you, Nicolas. So good morning to all of you in the States, and good afternoon, good evening to everybody in Europe and Asia. So firstly, thanks again, Nicolas, Eleni, Annie, and all the great team that have organized this webinar. Just for you audience to know, I also have my colleague Sophie monitoring the questions on our side. So please, if anything is not clear in the audio or if my slides are lagging, please send a message and I will slow down or adjust accordingly. I'll also, as Nicolas said, will look to answer your questions at the end of the presentation, and I expect my talking part should last between 30 and 40 minutes. Great, so let's get started. So as Nicolas mentioned, I'm going to run through a data-driven analysis of the main shipping markets, looking at all the key markets, but just the key data, and hope to provide you with a view to the possible future asset plays across the different major vessel types. Hopefully you can see my first slide up, and you can see there that the theme I'm going to use today is signals and noise. As we all know, the shipping markets are incredibly volatile and unpredictable. If we look into the data, we can find some key signals, but there's also a lot of noise, both from irrelevant data, but also commonly from commentary and opinion from people often trying to sell you things. We are a data provider. We have no interest in the buying or selling or investment in vessels, so I hope to provide you independent, objective, and most importantly, data-driven and data-supported information. So in this talk, I will show you across all the major sectors, but being limited on time, I can go only so far into this. Of course, following the call, happy to for anybody to reach out to contact us for a deeper dive or to discuss specific requirements. So first, Nicholas mentioned his disclaimer, I just have to put this up. We have a typical standard disclaimer and limitations on liability, which you can read there. And just covering the agenda, I am specifically going to look at tankers, bulkers, containers, the gas markets, and very briefly at the offshore markets. This is going to cover values, the position in the cycle, demand versus supply, specifically real-time ton-mile demand generated from AIS analysis versus fleet supply, and also look at a fundamental forecast. And then I'm going to look to combine all of this together and at the end summarize the various different signals that are coming out of the noise in order to provide opinions, pure opinions, on the possible room for asset play or the most likely or best looking opportunities. So before I get into that, most of you will know us, but very quickly who we are. We do four main things. We do values, we do data, we do AIS vessel tracking, and we do trade flows, ton miles. We were a startup in 2011. I was one of the founding employees. We've now grown to over 150 people operating across seven offices, headquarters in the UK, but large research offices based in Asia, both in China, Manila, and client relationship offices in Singapore and Seoul. We work with about 400 companies, and that counts for about 2,000 daily users of our online services where we provide the information through a subscription, and really our clients split between finance, owners, and advisors. So enough of that. Let's get into the detail. So because it's quite a hot sector at the moment, I'm going to start with tankers. So the first thing to start with is let's look at what has happened to values in the immediate past. This first chart is looking at the change in values for fixed age five-year-old vessels, so it's constantly 5 years old, from 2015 up until the start of January, with a particular focus on the percentage change in the last year. And that's where the line, they're saying that two-thirds across the graph, that was the beginning of 2018, and looking at the percentage change to today. So what we can see quite clearly here across the tanker sector, and just split into the main types of Aframax, Suezmax, VLCC, MR, and LR, is we can see that values are on the up. You know, tankers have been in a very bad place over the last couple of years, and really we've started to see the beginnings of a of an improvement in values and in earnings and general market sentiment. If we look over the last year, the vessel type, the tanker that has led the way, the largest increase in value on a non-depreciated basis is a five-year-old Aframax. Her value has gone up 11%, followed by Suezmax at 10, VL at 9, MR at 5, and then LR1 pretty flat at a 3% growth in value over the last 12 months. Just to put it in the historical context of 2015, this might all sound great, but you can still see that we are still quite significantly below the levels we were in 2015, and you're going to see now we are significantly below the levels we were at the peaks of the market in 2008. Now, if we zoom in to a more recent time period, specifically 1 year, and looking at the percentage change over the last 3 months, we can start to see these trends more clearly. We can see a clear upward slope of the line over the last 3 months, and you could argue an acceleration of the increase in values over that period. Interestingly, the vessel that has improved the most over the last 12 months is also the same that's improved over the last 3 months, which is not always the case, which is the Aframax size, also at the same rate at 9%, the Suezmax, followed by LR1s at 7, VLs at 6, and MR2 being the laggard at only 4% in the last 3 months, which is still over 1% a month. Which is not bad. But effectively what we can see here, it's the more common type, the Aframax crude tankers that have done the best over the last year and over the last 3 months in terms of values. Now, if we want to look at actually what's been the effect of values on a specific vessel, let's look at a specific valuation page, and we can get a lot of information here. So here I've chosen the Pacific Glory, and this is the valuation from yesterday. Pacific Glory was sold very recently. She's about 17 years old, built in Japan. We see a brief description of her, currently owned by Sonocore, but just sold to the Chinese that they're waiting to take delivery of. The current value is just under $21 million of 20.84 as of yesterday. The demolition value, assuming that you were to demolish her in the Indian subcontinent, is just over $16.5 million. And the vessel's value discounted cash flow valuation using our standard assumptions is above the market value at 24.3. So instantly there we can see that there is somewhat limited downside risk to the scrap value and potentially some upside looking at the relationship between the market value and the DCF value. But for the purpose of time, I'm not really going to look at DCS. We're just going to focus on the market values. So then below the numbers, you can see the chart, and you can see the historical time series, you know, the good old days back in 2008, and then what has happened to values since that time. And these are daily updated values driven out of the vessel's value algorithms generated at midnight GMT each night. And the pink dots are the last time the vessels are sold, which we'll look at in a second to see how those transactions supported the valuation for this vessel, but also the valuations for other VLCCs in this sector. And I know the graph is quite small, but if you look at the last few months, right at the end, you can see the black line has come away from the green line. The green line is the demolition value. That was effectively showing at the beginning of 2018, or halfway through 2018, this vessel reduced in value all the way down to her demolition value of around $16 or $17 million. And actually, she's now come above that and has increased by about another $3 or $4 million in value over that time. So we can see this volatile market. Finally, we're seeing some glimmers of hope of the values increasing. So if we look at the transaction for her in 2011, she was sold for $36.3 million to Sinocore. And we can see just at the beginning of this year, she was sold for $22 million to Kunlun Holdings of China. So we can see how that $22 million is supporting the valuation of approximately $21 million showing on vessel's value, which is significantly above the demolition value, which she was at several months ago. Now, that is one way of looking at values. The other way is to look in the long-term historical context, the cycle. So if I want to look in the cycle for the Pacific Glory, it's difficult because she's a 17-year-old vessel. How do I extend the value back over time? I do that by removing depreciation, by using this concept of fixed age. So this chart here is showing the historical value of the Pacific Glory, assuming her age is as it is today at 17 years old, extended back to the early 90s. And this graph is very powerful. You can clearly see the cycles. You can clearly see the super cycle. And really, from 2012-11, you can see the kind of one full cycle that we seem to have performed up to today, and that she's now just come off the bottom of the cycle, right? So this is looking positive. The current value of the vessel, call it just under $21 million, is about $1 million below the median value, which is always good, and the values are rising. Now, if we extend that analysis to the main other tanker types, we can look in terms of the historical context, which types may be underpriced or overpriced. So this is showing you this chart here, the bar chart, the current market value versus the, call it, 25-year-old historical median, not mean, median, to remove the effects of the super cycle to overestimate the average. What we can see here is that the Aframax, the LR1, it's also implied LR2s, are still significantly, I call it 10% below the historical average on a non-inflated basis. The Suezmaxes are significantly above at 13.5. VLCCs and MRs are pretty much at the historical average. So just taking that purely independently, we'd say that possibly the Aframax LR1, LR2 sizes are underpriced, the Suezmaxes are possibly overpriced, and VLs and MR2s seem relatively fairly priced today, just in the pure historical context of the cycle. But as I'm hoping to show you here, this is just one piece of information to be used to make your decision. And you know, as the old shipping saying goes, a good navigator never relies on any single piece of information. And on that basis, we will now move away from values and start to look at what signals are coming out of the demand and supply. The demand and supply for shipping is relatively tricky. The supply side actually is relatively straightforward. We can look at the size of the fleet, the current size updated daily by vessels value, taking into account additions, so new buildings coming on, and removals, demolitions coming off. But we can also do projections based forward on expected new buildings and expected demolitions. So supply is relatively straightforward. Demand is somewhat of a holy grail. So for vessels value, we're interested in really getting into the nitty-gritty, the detail of this to measure demand, and then so we can group it up together on a fleet or company level. So we measure demand effectively by drilling down into each individual vessel movement. And what I'm showing you here on this slide is the stoppages. So the methodology is when a vessel stops, she's doing something different. So by using the AIS, the GIS, Geographic Information Services, and about 2 to 3 years of deep analytics, a large team and large technological framework, we've been able to develop a real process, a product that we call VV Trade, to analyze when vessel stops, what are they doing? We take this vessel here, the DHT Amazon. She's a VLCC. We can see that her last stop, she stopped for 8 days in Yantai in the anchorage in China, and she's at anchor. Before that, she'd been in the Congo, and before that, she'd been in South Africa. So we can see the times that she stopped, and we can see our algorithm in the second to last column guessing what she was doing at the different stops. So her last load, we can see in the actual in the terminal in the Congo back in December is when she's loaded. So she's loaded crude oil most likely there and has gone to China and is currently waiting around in China at the anchorage to discharge because she hasn't made it into the port. So grouping those stoppages together, we can get this idea of journeys. And now this is where I get into ton miles. So we can see the top journey for this vessel. She's currently going from the Congo to China, and we know that she's waiting in China. The waiting is interesting. That's congestion. That tells you something about the market. But actually, what I care about is her laden journey. So she's on a laden journey. We know her approximate cargo volume. We know her distance. And that gets you ton mile demand. So if I put the journeys together for this vessel, I now get, for this actually a different VLCC, her ton mile demand. And that is the blue line that you're seeing there. The red line is the 12-month moving average. And when the background is pink, she's laden. When the background is blue, she's ballast. And when it's white, it's not underway. So that is her real-time and historical real demand for the vessel. And of course, because we build it on a vessel basis, we can group it up to companies, fleets, global, geographic, anywhere you want. We can even do very specific geographic analysis. My guy's been running it this morning. There was a dam broke in Brazil on Friday. That's had a huge effect on iron ore exports with Vale out of Brazil. And we can see the exact effect of that's happening on the Capesize and other dry bulk markets to use to make some assumptions about potential mispricing or increase or decrease of rates in different geographies around the world. That's the more micro stuff. What we're interested in here is the macro stuff. So I'm showing you demand. And now what we want to do is group it up, let's say for VLCCs or for tankers, and compare demand against supply to give us a signal of is demand growing faster than supply. If it is, that's good. And if supply is growing faster than demand, that is bad. So let's have a look. This is for VLCCs, looking at demand measured on versus supply on a quarterly basis, year-on-year changes over each quarter from 2013 up to 2018. The orange bars are the size of the percentage change of growth of the fleet, and the black bars are percentage change growth in demand. So effectively, when the black bars are greater than the yellow bars, that's a good thing, and vice versa. And this graph correlates fantastically with the VLCC market. So we can see in 13, demand was shrinking, the fleet was growing. 14, the demand was mostly shrinking, the fleet was growing less, but we had terrible markets then. 15, 16, we had demand growing significantly, the fleet not really growing, and we have that great earnings market. 17, it goes back to demand exceeding supply. So it's a nice correlation. However, there has been a bit of a discorrelation recently. You can see in 2018, and actually most recently, the last quarter of 2018, we had demand shrinking a little bit, but we still had supply growing. So general opinion is the demand has shrunk because of the OPEC cuts. I know other countries have taken it up, but they've been a bit slow to take up the extra volumes. So that reduction in demand has caused this reduction in ton-mile demand. The fleet continues to grow, so what's going on in the market? Well, actually, the market over the last couple of weeks has been very strong. VLCCs, I think in end of December, it reached $60,000 a day. That market has now come down a bit. I think it's $25,000 a day today. What's interesting is the market was not matching with the fundamentals. That was a warning sign several weeks ago, and the reality has come out to play. The warning sign was there, and the market has come down because the demand is not supporting, the demand supply fundamentals are not necessarily supporting the market. That's not to say that it can't change tomorrow. We can have a spike up in demand. We can have a hold on new building orders. There can be various other factors that affect it, but everything else being the same, this is what it's showing us. So extending that analysis out, this is really interesting now. Let's look at the 2018 demand and supply balance across the major tanker types. What we can see here is that for everything except for Aframax, supply has been growing greater than demand. That's a warning sign. Aframax, thankfully, demand has been growing greater than supply. And guess what? From the previous slides, we saw that Aframax values have been increasing the most. So again, that's a possible forward-looking indicator that we're providing there. If we're looking at this, Aframax looking good. The other tanker types, particularly MR2s and possibly VLCCs, currently looking slightly questionable. So that's the demand and supply. And the final slide I will finish with on the tankers is looking at the fundamental forecasts. These are provided to us by our friends in Norway, forecasting experts. Have been doing it for 22-odd years, VMR. They provide every quarter a fundamental analysis on all the different sectors, looking at, in this case, refineries opening, closing, oil wells opening, GDPs, and so forth, as well as supply side, fleet growth, and so on, in order to generate valuation forecasts going forward. This is for generic vessels, but of course on vessels value, we provide it for every specific vessel. So you want to put in the name of any vessel, we will give you the forecast over the remaining 4 years as provided by VMR, and then as a statistical-based forecast going forward until from 4 years until the end of the remaining vessel's life derived from a statistical analysis. So what are we showing here on the forecast? They're expecting values not to do anything particularly interesting through 2019 and then really start picking up in 2020, with the best type once again being Aframax, followed closely by LR1 and also by Suezmax. Those are looking to increase in values between now and midway through 2021 by between 20 and 25%. The lowest growing expected asset classes just on a macroeconomic fundamental forecast is the VLCCs and MRs, which are expected to increase by about 11 to 13% over that same period. And then all the values start to drop off near the end of 2021 and 2022, really as the cycle continues, and that's looking to be expected around the top of the cycle 2021, early 2022. So that is my tanker analysis, and don't worry, there's a lot of signals there, and I will take those signals at the end, and we're going to put them all on a matrix to show you which are looking like the best opportunities. But before I do that, I'm going to go into bulkers, and this is going to run quicker because I've run through most of the methodology, and it will be a similar analysis here. So if we look at values, if we look at the last year, same analysis, and this is over back to 2015, but just looking at the percentage change in the last year. Actually, the best types have been in the last year. The smallest have been the handies. They're up 11%, followed by the largest, the Capes, Panamax, and then Supramax, 4% increase. But if we zoom into the last year, we can see that, into the last 3 months, we can actually see that values in dry bulk have started to decline. You know, we had a pretty good year in dry bulk, kind of 2017. We had some great increases in values in March, April of that year. But the earnings market has not necessarily materialized at the level that everybody hoped, and we are seeing some hesitancy in people purchasing vessels, and that is coming through to the second-hand market. So in the last 3 months, handies are down about 2%, same with Supras, same with Capes and Panamax, about 2.3%, 2.5%. If we look at the vessel value to support this, take the Amorito. She's a Cape size. She's almost 7 years old. Her current value is just over $31 million, and our vessel's value, DCF value, is way below at 22. If you remember, our DCF value for a VLCC was significantly above the market value, again showing a positive sentiment there, or positive signal there. In this case, DCF being below market value could be a negative signal. So we can see that this vessel in 2016 was sold for $22.4 million to Mr. Marinakis at Capital Maritime and Trading. And as he always tends to do, he seems to have made some very good asset play, and he sold this just last month for $32.5 million, as I say, in December. So we can see the transactions supporting the values. But let's look at this in a more longer-term historical context. So here, the cycle is a little bit less obvious, really because the super cycle is so extreme. But the major takeaway from this chart is for a Capesize, in the 24, all the way back to 1992, the historical context, the current value of $31 million for a 7-year-old vessel is above the historical median 29. So possibly some downside risk or possibly some fair pricing and limited upside potential in the Capesize sector. Again, expand this to the other dry bulk vessel classes, and we can see Capes are looking a little bit overpriced on a historical average basis, about 10% over the historical median. Panamax just above at 3, Supra just above at 2. And the kind of, again, the ugly duckling that is doing very well is the Handy, which is still below the historical median. And the values are up most in the last year and down the least in the last 3 months. So again, maybe it's looking like small is beautiful. We're looking at demand versus supply, same analysis we did in tankers, but just here is just a simplification without going through the methodology. We can see actually that for most of the types, it's looking pretty fairly balanced. You know, Capesize supply is exceeding demand by under 1% in the last year. The one that's looking positive very, very slightly is Handys, which once again supports this hypothesis that in the dry bulk sector, maybe the small Handy size is the most attractive. Looking at the fundamental forecast, there's a bit of a different story here. VMR are expecting Handys to increase the fastest, the soonest, but if we're going through to 2021, actually Capesize do outperform ultimately. But we are looking over the next year, and they're expecting values to increase actually at quite a rapid rate over the next year, year and a half, looking at kind of 18, 19% for Handys, about 13% for Supras, 20% for Panamax by 2021, and 21, 22% for Capesize by mid-2021. And that big fall-off in values starting midway through 2021 is, again, the back to the cycle and looking like 2021 being the peak and the fall-off following that. So that's dry bulk. Now moving on to containers. It's been a bit of an interesting ride. If we look at the last year for containers, there's certainly a tale of two cities. Again, this is 5-year-old values we're looking at, and what we're seeing is the larger post-Panamax have gone up in value by 14-15%, a good increase in value, while the smaller feeder maxes are flat to down at -3%, and then the kind of quite heavily commoditized Handy container sector is down -12% in the last year following some pretty decent rises up in values prior to that. Zooming into the last 3 months, we can see that's even more pronounced, with Handys in the last 3 months have really dropped off by 15%, feeders have really dropped off by 10%, and the larger post-Panamax are still rising, but at a slower rate of 3% in the last 3 months. So there are some warning signals, obviously, trade wars and so on are affecting this, but we are still, as you'll see shortly, relatively bullish for the long-term prospects of the container sector, really on the basis that they are so cheaply priced still at the moment. And this is something that we're going to see shortly going on to some more slides. But to show you examples of transactions that are supporting this, here's an example of valuation page of a Handy container, market value $8 million, about 10.5 years old, built in Turkey. With a DCF value actually about 20% above of about $10 million. So DCF is pointing upwards. Market value trend, okay, the value has come up a fair amount. It peaked about halfway through 2018, but you can see where that pink dot is. The values have really started to decline. And that has been supported by Mr. Marinakis, who on the previous slide seemed to be selling bulkers at a good capital appreciation to be buying containers quite cheaply. So he bought this vessel in December 2018 for $9 million. hence supporting the valuation that we're seeing there. Looking at the historical context for this vessel, going back to 92, we can see the current value is way below the historical average. Current value at 8, historical valuation, median value at just under 14. Extending that to the main vessel types, we can see that, you know, post-Panamax still 35% below the historical, Handy still 21, Feedermax still 26, and ULCV still about 10%, 8-10% below the historical average. So we see a significant room to grow just in a pure historical statistical basis for the various container sectors, with the post-Panamax, Panamax sector looking like the most upside potential. Now looking at the forecast through our friends VMR, they are most bullish on the container sectors of all the sectors in terms of their forecast, looking at Panamaxes being the best performing over the next 3 years, looking at an increase of about 50% up to the middle of 2021, with the other types increasing between about 20 to 30%, as you can see on the chart. I did not run a demand-supply analysis for containers, as it's not really relevant. We are working on something, but ton miles is not a good indicator in the typical liner and feeder trades of the container sector. Moving on to gas, it's a really kind of hot, attractive market for a lot of people at the moment. There's a lot of talk going on and a fair amount of investment. So let's look at what's happened to values. Just to be clear, gas is a far less volatile, particularly LNG, a volatile sector, but things are changing in LNG. We're going to a much more spot-driven market, and it's going to be interesting to see how this is going to affect values going forward. So in the last 12 months, values are up a bit, but only small, 2% pretty much across the board. In the last 3 months, up a little bit, 0.5% in the last 3 months. As I say, for the LNG sector, much less volatility, but it's nice to see an upward trend in values. If we look at the current value versus the historical context, we can see for the large and mid-size, it's pretty fairly priced. But the small scale, which is a very, very illiquid market, do seem to be slightly large and slightly above the historical average. Could be something to do with a fair amount of new building purchasing that's going on there, particularly by one or two new publicly listed companies, Avenir being one. So going on from LNG, looking at LPG on values, and then we'll put it all together to look at demand and supply and forecasts. So LPG has actually been quite a good year. The large are up 15%, same with fully pressed. The VLGC are up almost 10%, MGC is up 8%, and the semi-pressurized fully refrigerated are up 7%. But if we look at the last year, the last 3 months, it's a similar trend. And it's good to see that that trend is continuing, and you can read the relevant statistics from there. Looking at the historical context, everything does look a little bit overpriced in the historical context, except for the MGCs, which are about 3% below the historical median. But, you know, VLGCs, even with the values, are down a fair amount over the last 5 years, even though they're up in the last year, they are still 14% above the historical average. Looking at demand and supply, the story here is very good news in LNG. Demand is growing at a much faster rate than supply. So demand is exceeding supply by 6.7% in the large LNG sector, which is the most liquid. Not so great for gas, but not too bad. So VLGC's supply is exceeding demand by about 2.5%, and the fully pressurized, the small LPGs, is pretty much flat, with one glimmer of hope in supply demand on the LPG sector of the semi-refrigerated. What I would say with LNGs is that there are a fair amount of new building orders coming online and being inked as we speak, so that supply-demand relationship can change very quickly, and of course we can track that in real time. So looking at forecasts, unfortunately our friends VMR do not do LNG forecasts at the moment, but they are certainly experts in LPG, and they are most bullish on the MGC sector. They're looking at a pretty fast and continuous increase through to the middle of 2020 of around 37.5% increase in value over that time, with the other vessel types looking at about a 10 to 12% increase over the next 2.5 years. So I'm just going to finish with the unfavorables. The offshore sector at the moment, you know, it's had a lot of problems, and with the oil price falling again, those problems have just resurfaced. So let's look at what's happened to values. This is in the last year. So, I mean, going back to 2015, values have really fallen by a factor of 10. right? I mean, we can see here that, you know, drill ships that were worth $260 million are now worth $100 million. This is for a five-year-old. If you go to a 10-year-old or a 15-year-old, it's even more significant. And I'll show you shortly, we've had vessels that were 5-6 years ago worth $30-40 million in the OSV space, which are now worth $5 million. So there's been a huge destruction in value really related to the fall of the oil price and the restriction of the exploration and production. But what's happened? So actually the best performing has been the semi-sub, has only fallen in value 2% in the last year, but it's a very illiquid sector. There's very few of these vessels out there and very, very thinly traded. Drill ships are down 3%, jack-ups are down 7%. AHTSs, anchor handling tugs, are down 18%. PSVs, in a terrible market, are down another 23%. It's not looking particularly great in terms of the value trends. And if we look at the last 3 months, it's even worse. AHTS is down 28%. Semi-subs down 4%. You can see the statistics from the chart. So, you know, there's a fair amount of contention in the vessel's value, offshore values, because they're real. There is a lot of nonsense values out there. There's been quite a lot of nonsense values published in publications. I want to show you here some of the supporting transactions behind it. So take this vessel, the Ina Shogun. She was worth $75 million once as a new building. When she was delivered, she was worth $50 million. And we valued her today, actually even less, probably about, well, today we value about $5 million. And we've been called crazy, irresponsible, and so on. But if we look at the transaction that's aborted, in 2017, this vessel was bought for $5.8 million. That is a transaction that is supporting our valuation. And to be clear, our valuation is the market value, what you could buy or sell the vessel for in the market today. You know, so this is real values, not hypothetical values, which are often used in some of the reporting of offshore vessels. If we look at where the current value is in terms of the historical context, you don't have to be a genius to work this out, it's well below. So the current value of $5 million for this vessel is way below the historical median of $27-28 million. If we look at that across all the sectors, we are well down. Drill ships are 70, they're all about 70-80%, apart from the jack-ups, below their long-term historical average. So we know there's great potential here, but there is also huge risk, which I'll discuss at the end of this presentation. So that's been about 35 minutes. That's all the data. I now just want to summarize it together, try to, you know, really distill these signals from the noise. So I'm going to use a matrix here where I'm going to look, just use a traffic light methodology for looking at across the different sectors, bulkers, tankers, containers, LPG, LNG, and offshore, whether the values trends are pointing up, if that's a good thing, whether they're in a good position in the cycle, whether the demand and supply is looking good, and what's going on with the fundamental-driven forecast. So let's have a look. So bulkers, there's quite a lot of yellows in terms of the values, the cycle, the demand, supply, but the forecast is pointing up. Tankers, there's a fair amount of green apart from some questions over the demand and supply. Containers, the values are not looking great, the cycle's looking fantastic, and the forecast is certainly looking up. LPG, the values are doing well, they're going up. Maybe we're at a midpoint in the cycle in terms of the values in the historical context. Demand and supply has some questions, but also the forecasts are looking up. LNG, we've got great story in the values. It's more restrained, but still, and there's great fundamentals behind it. We're in a kind of cycle, is nothing exciting going on, but some really good demand and supply. We've got demand really exceeding supply. Offshore, the values are red, 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 going down, but the cycle position is excellent. So if I want to summarize those together, the two attractive-looking segments at the high level are the tankers and LNG. Right, so now if you want to be more specific, if you're actually looking, hey, should I be, if I'm in tankers, should I be looking for the VLCC play or the LR1 play or so on, let's start to look at the different vessel types and look at possible some recommendations. And of course, as per the disclaimer, this is just a matter of personal opinion and should not be, any of this recommendation should not be used to derive any professional decisions. So, bulkers, across values, cycles, demand, supply, it's a handy that is looking like the best. Across the forecast, it's the Cape. But I will summarize and say that if we were to invest in bulkers, that the handies are looking like the best opportunity. Moving on to tankers, across all of it, value, cycle, demand, supply, and forecast, it's Aframax. So let's call it Aframax. Containers, post-Panamax and Panamax across most of the sectors. So let's focus on that, the post-Panamax, Panamax sizes. LPG is a bit of a mixed bag. And I would say, you know, LGC or MGC, there's word of warning with the MGCs that it is a very liquid market with very few vessels in that space. LNG is interesting. It's both small and large. It's actually interesting across all the sectors. The large LNG is much more common than the smaller ones. But small is a developing industry, you know, really providing the infrastructure, the feeders and so on to allow more use of the larger LNG type vessels. So I'm going to say large, but I'm really going to say across all the different types of LNG are looking interesting. And then if we're looking at offshore, you know, value trend, semi-sub, cycle AHTS, but you need a big risk appetite. Problem with these offshore vessels is that they look cheap now, but it's difficult to find employment for them, and you have to maintain them and keep them in good condition, which is very expensive, until the market improves, which nobody knows when. So that's our data, that's our signals, and those are our preferences. And that's us. So thank you very much. Now over to you guys, and I believe Sophie's going to bring me some questions. Okay. Nicholas, do you want to take over?
Adrian, thank you very much for a very informative webinar, as always.
Pleasure.
I don't really have anything to add. I think you did an excellent job, as always. And I look forward to seeing you very soon, and I'd like to thank everybody for participating.
Fantastic. Thank you, everybody.
And we can remind everybody that your presentation will be available as an archive, so I hope a lot more people will come back and listen to it. And again, thank you to everybody, and especially to you.
Yes, thank you. And Nicholas, I just had a question come through from Rob, but I will just email him directly and take it offline.
Okay.
Okay.
And anybody who has questions, you can email them to us, and I will forward them to Adrian.
Okay, fantastic.
Thank you again. Thank you.
Okay, cheerio.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That does conclude our webinar for today. Thank you for participating. You may disconnect.